Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. What's going on? Merry Christmas, right? Right? Is it Merry Christmas time? Like, we should say that? Nice. Hey, let me acknowledge Metro. What's up? What's up, yo? No, what is up? What's up? Anyways, hey, can we say hey to them? Can we make some noise for them? Yes, let's do that. So, I don't know if you guys know this. In the North Campus, we got this ginormous tree, which, by the way, you're welcome. Family photos available after the service. And no, at Metro, we got two ginormous trees out there. It's crazy. Actually, one had a fall, too. But we fixed it. We fixed it for you. So enjoy that. Man, I just want to say thank you for all the people who you give towards this, you serve towards it, and you make the season really amazing. And in fact, we're having a volunteer gala this end of the week. And if you're a volunteer, you probably got an email about that. And if you're a volunteer and you did not get an email about it, we don't want you to come. No, actually, we do want you to come. There was probably a goof up, but you are invited. Show up. It's an event, yo. It's an event. So it's gonna be pretty amazing. Hey, if you're a guest here, so glad you're here. We are in a series called Glow, and we're just talking about this idea of Jesus calling us to be the light. So last week was first week, and this week is second week. But I gotta say, last week we talked about this idea of us being a lighter, not a candle, right? And if you have people asking for you for a light, but you're supposed to be a light. But in fact, if you look at the scriptures, it actually points to be that you are the light, that you have the ability because of God's Spirit in you. To be a lighter, so to be light for people and situations and in life and wherever you are. And in fact, let me read you the passage. Let's remind ourselves. It's Matthew 5, verse 14 in the Message translation. It says this, help me out. Let's read this out loud. Let's do that. I mean, it's almost Christmas. Let's just do that, right? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. So you and I are called to be lighters. Now, what's ironic, though, so for Thanksgiving, we went to my wife's side, and her side is a lot whiter than my side, just so you know, okay? Mine sounds gets darker, it gets whiter. So anyways, we went to the Deep South. Woo! I mean, I don't think it was a Deep South. I just call it the Deep South. But it was in, it's in 6 Mile, South Carolina. Yeah. Anybody know? Woo. Yeah, I know. No one knows. It's only for 6 miles. That's about it. That's it. And it's. But we went there. It was funny. We rolled in. I was like, man, we have grown the diversity population in this town by 150%. It was me, my kids. I mean, Ashley sort of counts too. But and then we had a foreign exchange student from Bolivia. So I was like, this is amazing. But we got out there. It's all good. We're all good. But it was a good experience. But we got back and I was unpacking. And I found something in my stuff. You know how sometimes you go and stay with friends or stay with family, and then you have their stuff, and stuff gets exchanged. Anyways, I found this, which is so strange, crazy, ironic. I think it's God. Anyways, I found this. Now, for some of you, you're like, "What is this? I can't really see." This is a lighter, my friends. Look at this thing. That's a torch. Right. This lighter is not to light up the world with God colors. This is to interrogate the world. This is like, seriously, like, I don't know what you do with this. This is my father-in-law's, and he doesn't know I have it. He still does not know I have it. Which, this is interesting, because just by the looks of it, this is something I would not own. I mean, it's, number one, the camouflage. I mean, I'm not sneaking up to a deer and going, you know, I don't know what you do with this. But I was like, I'm definitely keeping it. How many of you think I should keep this. One, two. Anybody in Metro? How many of you think I should return this? Well, whatever. I should not return this. It does say here, this is hilarious, I thought. It says, ignite lighter away from the face. Just so if you were wondering, don't do this. Okay, it's not funny. Okay, but I thought this is pretty interesting. So I'm probably going to give it away. But when I looked at this, I thought, how do you refuel this thing? And I was like, oh, that's it. That's how you refuel it. And then guy got me thinking, that's so ironic that God would just place a lighter in my stuff. Maybe it was God, I don't know. But then I got thinking about this idea of refueling. And so if you and I are called to be lighters, how do we refuel? How do we refuel? I mean, is there such a thing? Do we actually do that? Are we supposed to do that? And if you are convinced that you're a lighter, which I got a lot of text messages and Instagram messages about how that message really reframed people's idea of, like, we're not supposed to be this light that gets lit by God and make sure that we don't, you know, fade away or get blown out. We're actually the lighter. Then the question is, how do we refuel? So this morning, I just want to talk about how do you refuel? And the reason why is because I think for some of us, you know why you need to. Because you know sometimes holidays drain you, right? I mean, Thanksgiving almost did you in, kind of thing, you know? For some of us, you know at the end of Christmas, you're going to be drained. You're going to have conversations. You're going to go environments. You're going to spend all kinds of time and energy and money. And you're going to be pretending and eating and pretending to eat and eating to pretend. You're just going to keep doing that, counting calories, then playing the guilt game. You're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. No. Some of you guys will, like, work out and then eat. What is wrong with you? Okay, just pick a side. Anyway, so... You know, so there's going to be so much stress. Let me just tell you, you need to know how to refuel. And for us, for some of us, I mean, you've got some serious issues. I mean, like, as in, you've got some opportunities that really require you to be kind of, like, all filled up. Because there are opportunities that are just complicated. Like, you know, I wish there were choices that were simple, but hard choices are so complicated, isn't it? Like, should I be moved? Should I do this? Should I not do this? What about this? What if? And what if I should say yes? I mean, there's just so many variables to the opportunities we have. And then others of us, you got stuff. You got, I mean, not just problems, but just stuff, you know? You just got stuff. Like, this is going to be, and you know, and I know, we have people like that. This is the first Christmas for some of us that we're going to go into without this person. And that's a very real thing. It's a very real thing. And so we just need to be filled up with more than just positive thinking. We need to be filled up truly with all of God that we can. And that's why you're here, you're at Metro, you're online, you're watching, because there's something inside of you that draws you, that knows that you are wired up to be filled up, your container of the divine. And so you got to be filled in. So how do we do that? That's the big question this morning. Let me read you a passage why I think that it's so important for us to understand that it requires work on our part, okay? But I'll give you a perspective on it. This guy that I'm going to read you the passage from, he's a guy named Paul. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, and some of the letters he wrote to churches. And so I'm going to read you a passage from Philippians to a church in Philippi. It's the first church in Europe, and he co-authored it, probably with Timothy. And he wrote this in like a couple of weeks. It took him a couple of weeks to do that. And so I'll read you this passage, but they jumped the gun here. You can take it up. You can get rid of it. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Don't give this away. Get rid of it. Okay, don't listen to me. All right, that's another way to do that. So this passage is written because he's in prison. He is... He's also writing this passage, and when he, you got to understand, this book has so many things to it. But one of the things is that he's actually thanking people for funding his imprisonment. Because in ancient days, back in those times, if you were imprisoned, the authorities were not obligated to give you any food, so that your friends and family would actually pay for food for you in prison. So this is just so you know. So when he's writing this letter, there's so much to this, So much to this, okay? So let me now read this passage to you that you probably got a sneak preview of. Okay, now, so let me read this to you. It's in Philippians 4. It says, don't fret or worry. Again, this is the guy in prison writing this, okay? Then he says, instead of worrying, pray. So easy for me to tell you. But for Paul, he has a lot more weight to this. Then he says, let petitions and praises, check this out, shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. So he's using language to express to you that we need to, there's something more to this time we spend with God. There's something more to just prayer. There's something more to interacting with God. There's something more to just worrying about certain things and going to God about certain things and just showing up and going, you know the stuff I'm dealing with, help me out. There's something more that's going on. And then he says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. He says, there's something's going to happen. Then he goes on and he says this, and I love this. Again, this is the paraphrased translation. This is the Message translation. But here's what it says. It says, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. He says it's an amazing things happen when by you doing certain things, and he's talking about letting praise and your prayers shape you and change your prayer life. He's saying something beautiful happens when the center of your life is replaced by Christ and His presence and not by worry. It's like the fuel, it's like the worry, it's being clogged up. The drain is being clogged up because of Christ in your life. And so this is an idea, this is a concept, but how does this work? I just want you to know that Paul, a guy like him, he understood what it meant to be refueled with God's presence, because he's stuck in prison. He's asking people for food, making sure they don't, you know, we're trying to raise $60,000 for, you know, a Christmas offering. He's trying to like, hey, I'm in prison again. Ha ha, need some food. You know, I mean, it's you can just imagine how draining and stressful his life is. And so he writes this, which I believe gives us the one thing that we need to do to refuel our lives, to make sure that if we're going to be a lighter, that we actually know how to refuel. And it's very simple. And I believe Paul did this, Jesus did this, the people in the scriptures that you see go, how did you actually step into this? How did you actually accomplish this? They all did this. They all did this. I mean, it's not a couple of steps. I just wrote it very simply for you, and it's this. It's basically this. It's habitually pausing. So it's habitually pause to practice God's presence. That's it. And you might go, no, there's got to be something deeper. No, it really is. That's it. It's habitually pausing in your life. You make a habit of pausing to practice God's presence in every part of your life, in every season of your life, in every moment of your life, or in moments throughout your day. Like habitually pausing to acknowledge, to step into, to stop and go, okay, this is God here. Habitually pausing to what? To practice God's presence. Can we say this out loud? Let's do it one time together, okay? What are we gonna do? Habitually pause to practice God's presence. Turn to your neighbor and say the same thing. Really quick. Do it now. Yes, habitually pause to practice God's presence. Okay, that's it. That's it. Don't talk about lunch. Okay? Okay? That's it. Now, what does that look like? For some of us, habits are easy. Others of us, you're like, I change all the time. But I'm just gonna let you know, we all have habits. We have habits. Okay, we do. I have a habitual habit to not understand when I need to be refueled. For example, I borrowed Ashley's car the other day, and she said, "Hey, hon, make sure you put gas in the car because it's on empty." And I was like, "Not a problem." I got in the car. I looked. The light's not on. I'm like, "We're not on empty, right?" So it was like, it was a quarter of a tank. To me, that's not empty, okay? It's not empty, okay? I borrowed the car, and then she gets in the car later on. She's like, "Hey, you didn't fill up my tank." I was like, it's not empty. She's like, "We're on empty." I was like, "No, the light's not on. It's not, the light's not on. And by the way, when the light comes on, you have what, 50 miles again, right?" Okay, how many of you think that's empty? Like, quarter of a tank is empty? No. How many think How many think the light on means empty? Anybody? Okay, how many know when you're empty, that means you have gone the 55 miles or 45 miles past the light? How many? Yes, thank you. My people are here. Now, has she ever run out of gas? Never in her life. Have I? Occasionally. Occasionally, it will happen. It will happen. Done it on a car, motorcycle, never on a plane. Actually, I did on a plane. That wasn't my fault. We landed. It was all good. But it was another story. But, and is my car light on right now? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay? I drove to church. But guess what? I'm not on empty. I'm not empty. I am empty when I'm empty. When I'm empty. When I'm busted. And I do this not just with my car. I do it with my life and emotions. And psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I love people. I'm an extrovert. Okay, and then I hit empty. And then everybody I love, I hate. I just do. Not something about you, I hate everything about you. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. I hate you, your presence. I hate everything about it. I don't know what it is. I hit that, it's over. It is over for me. Ashley, whatever, she kind of knows how her gauge works. She's like, I'm running on empty. I need to fill, whatever. I don't, okay? Okay, I don't. But problem is, she's more like Jesus than I am in so many ways. And so I think the scriptures actually point to following her example. And that means we learn to habitually pause, right? Habitually pause. We make a habit of just stopping and unplugging. We habitually pause and going dark from social media, right? Taking a break from social media, which, by the way, if you do take a break, no one needs to know, right? Don't tell us, sweetheart. Keep it to yourself. We don't need. And now I'm off. I'm coming back on later on. Like, don't. Just stop it, okay? Okay, but the idea of unplugging, the idea of just stopping, pausing, the idea of saying no, which for some of you who deal with FOMO, is a real thing. But that habit of just pause is a very spiritual habit. Jesus did it all the time, didn't he? If you read the scriptures, you know, right? Sometimes he's going hard. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He's healing all kinds of people. Then he feeds them because then, I mean, it's almost dark and all that. He's doing all these things. And then, boom, where is he? We don't know. Where'd he go? He's doing that whole walking on water thing again. Okay, he's out, he's doing that. Okay, we're on a boat, there's a storm coming. Where's Jesus? He's taking a nap. Why is he taking a nap? He's unplugging, he needs a break. Why? We're in a storm, that's the metaphor of life, isn't it? You're in a storm, Jesus is asleep, right? Where are you? Like, well, you don't hear anything from God. You're like, what? I think that's snoring. I think God is snoring as I am drowning. Like, that's what's happening. Which maybe it's God saying, well, your storms make me fall asleep. They're just small. Anyways, but then you also see Jesus did this when he was young. You remember that story, anybody? So his parents lose him, which, by the way, if you're a parent and if you ever lost a kid for a little bit, it's okay. Joseph and Mary did that with Jesus. Could you imagine? Worst parents ever. Who did you lose? The Son of God. We lost him. I mean, it's a true story. They're looking around for him, and then they go to him, and they're mad. They're like, "Where have you been?" And he's like, "I was doing my father's business." I was like, "What? Are you kidding me right now?" Which I think, just stop, just consider here. I think that is a funny moment, right? Like Jesus, what do you think he was thinking? He's like, "That's cute right now. That's cute. I'm the Son of God. I know where everything is. I made everything. You think I'm lost?" Hilarious. Why are you laughing? You're grounded. Okay, whatever. No dessert. Really? Because I can make stuff. Anyways, where was I on that? Yeah. So he continually just unplugs. Continually. If you don't have a habit of unplugging, guess what? You're drained of pausing. Now, in the scriptures, if you read the Psalms, which is poetry, there's a phrase that shows up sometimes. It's the word Selah, okay? And Selah literally means to stop. So the writer in some of these scriptures, they go, okay, you read this, stop. Stop why? Don't read again. Don't continue reading. Stop to reflect. Selah means stop and go, hold up. Stop and go, wow. Stop and go, let me think about this. Just stop. Just stop. Just stop. See, there's the ancient practice of just stopping, of because it's this idea like when you're the most stressed and you're in situations, you feel like you need to keep growing, keep going. And it happens physically too. If you're in tremendous stress, like if you're trying to lift something or you're exhausted, right? If you're running, here's the one thing we forget to do, our bodies forget to do. We stop breathing. It is the strangest thing. When stress is upon us, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we stop doing the one thing that gives us life. Stop to what? Breathe. It's like, which if you mimic that a lot, like if you breathe deep, the Jewish writers said it is the word Yahweh is connected to human breathing. It's this idea of Yahweh. It's like. The writers were like, every time we say the word Yahweh, we stop and we take a breath. In fact, when they would they would make copies of the Torah. There was a legend. Maybe I think it might be even fully true. That what they would do is every time they would copy scripture, every time they got to the word Yahweh or God, they would stop, break the pencil, and get a new one. There was this habitual, like, it was a habit of, we break pencils. How many pencils? It's a lot of pencils. We break them to just stop and say, we just said the word of life. There's a habit to us. See, we're made for that, friends. And if you don't do that, the stress of Christmas, the stress of your opportunities and your problems are going to make you not do one thing. They're going to make you keep going, keep going, keep going, and not stop to breathe. Not stop to unplug, not stop to just get away. And you friends, we have to do that. It's the one thing. You habitually pause. You habitually pause to go, to do what? To practice God's presence. And for some of us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you, you're like, dude, I love that, but I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. I get that, actually. A couple of weeks ago, I was during worship time, right? We were singing songs. I was in the back, and I was about to come up and speak. And you guys were singing a song. And during the song, I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? If I was in the auditorium right now, I would have no idea what to do, because I don't know this song, right? So just let's be honest here. Have you ever experienced that before? Like you're in the worship time, the singing time of church. You're standing there, and you're like, I have no idea what to do. I don't know the song. And, oh God, don't do it again. You know, like, what are we doing? And there's someone beside you who's like all into it. All into it. And you don't even know what to do. You don't know. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're like, I don't know what to do with my hands? Like, I've seen some of you guys, you're like. And then maybe some of you guys have coffee. So this is perfect. I've seen this. This is cute. You guys do this. And then you go. You have no idea what we're talking about, singing about. You have no idea. Problem is, you don't know what to do. And I get it. I totally get it. Because we do. This is safe. This is safe, okay? The other person next to you is like, you're like, stop. That, just stop. That should not happen in church. You know what I'm saying? Stop it. Like, don't do it, right? And then what happens? You're like, people are talking about God's presence and feeling it and all that. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And you're headed. You're like, God, I don't know what to do. Where are you here? And then your moment with God becomes an apology. Like, I'm so sorry right now. I'm so sorry. And oh my God, if this woman does not shut it, I am going to. Like, you get all kinds of thoughts in your head. It's hard. It's really tough. You know this, and if we got to acknowledge the fact that it's hard to be in God's presence, because he's not the guy, he's not the person that when you connect, like, have you met people like that? You instantly connect with. You meet them. I've had this happen here at Mosaic and Metro. I meet someone, and I instantly connect. I know exactly how to I just know, like, we just, it's just a flow. It's just like, hey, what's up, bro? What, and girl, I don't even know them, but we just flow. Then there's this awkward, like, what do we do? Okay, if you know this is true. During Thanksgiving, might have happened. Christmas, it will for sure happen. You will meet that cousin that you still don't know. Right? You'll meet that person, you still don't know what to do in their presence. You're like, hey, you look, wow, that's a look. You know, like you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. Let's just acknowledge the fact that there are some people, you get nervous in their presence. Right? Have you ever walked away from a conversation and thought, what was that? Why did you say that? Why would you say that? Oh my gosh, what did you compliment? That was not a joke, that was dumb. Like, have you ever thought that? I have. I'm like, there's some people I'm just nervous around, and God's one of those. Let's just acknowledge it. Okay, sometimes we go, oh, I know, I'm good with God's presence. No, you just know the song. You just know the song. You know what to do. You know exactly what to do. No, practicing God's presence, it's a deeper thing. Let me give you a tip, okay? Stop saying amen. Now you're like, what is this? This is no tip whatsoever. Now, I'm all about reclaiming the message and movement of Jesus. So what that means is that I look at scripture sometimes and I go, why do we do this? We've been doing this for centuries. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Why do we do this? It's not even a God thing. It's not even a Bible thing. And there are so many, I can list them. Amen is one of those things. And you might go, we're leaving the church right now. We're having a dedication, baby dedication. You're right now, some of you are like, we're not dedicating our baby. We're leaving because he's not going to end in amen. Let me explain this. I get the idea of that. I totally get it. I have thrown people off all the time with that. I get it. I go to different churches and I don't say amen and they don't know if I've stopped praying or not. They're still waiting for it. I've done this just to have some fun sometimes too in prayer. Like I'll just like, I've done it with our staff sometimes too, because like I'll pray and I'll get in Jesus' name. And people are like, their mouths get wider and they go, amen. Okay. We're good. All right. We're good. We ended it. We're good. We're good. And in fact, one service, I did a church service where I prayed and I say in Jesus' name and I walked off the stage, and the next service, the pastor came up and was like, hey, you got to say amen. I was like, what? He said, we don't know if you ended. Are you still praying? We don't know. We don't know when the band comes up. We don't know. I was like, oh, okay. And recently I was talking to someone who said, and their theology that they grew up with, if you don't say amen, God still thinks you're talking to him. So if you don't say amen, and if you start thinking terrible thoughts afterwards, God still thinks you're talking to him. Now, just think of that theology for a second. There's so much truth to it and just goofiness. It's true. God doesn't think you've stopped talking to him. We think that because we have an amen. If you look at the prayers of Jesus, he never says, and in my name, amen. Let me teach you how to pray. Father, thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, da 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 da, and in my name, amen. There are no amens. There are only amens to letters in the scriptures. Because it was a letter. Now, we can argue that, but just think of the possibility of never stopping praying. Imagine the idea of God always thinking you're always talking to him. Imagine yourself going, I never have to start or stop. See, that's what it means to habitually practice the presence of God. I just know you're here. I know you're in me. I know you're talking to me. You know you're talking. We're not amening and ending and starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. We're just talking. In fact, my whole existence is one conversation. It's not a multiple, it's just one prayer. It's just one thing. It's just one thing. Could you imagine that? That's the one, because when you go, amen, you go, and I'm done. And now I will go to work. And now I have this conversation. And now I have this. And now I have that. Imagine if you were like, I'm not done at all. I'm just not done. Because I'll tell you what God's not doing. Amen. Okay, good. Because I didn't know if you were done. I've been waiting around. There's all kinds of stuff to do in the universe, but I'm like, he's not doing that. He's not doing that. Look it up. Never is it amen. It's amen for the scriptures, for letters. It's in regards to, or you know, your best, or it's like in Jesus' name, amen. What if we were to go, okay, what that means is that I just acknowledge he's always talking to me and I'm always talking to him. What if all your words were directed not just to people, but also to him? It would change your words. It would change everything. That's what it means to practice God's presence. The other helpful tip is just to pick a place that you go, hey, in the drive into work or the drive back from work, I'm going to do it. When I put my headphones on, I'm going to do it. When I go for a run, I'm going to do this. I practice pausing to practice God's presence. I'll tell you the one phrase I say all the time. I mean, I'll just tell you what I do, okay? Okay, it's not a to-do thing. It's not five steps. This is what I just do. I'll be sitting there doing something in a meeting, whatever, and I go, is this you? Is this you? Like Ashley and I, when we first got married, she's like, she would constantly think there are people in the house because I'm talking to myself all the time. And it's not. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the one who's always with me. I mean, I'm just talking. I mean, I have started mid-conversations off somewhere. People are like, what's wrong? What happened? I'm like, nothing. They're like, who are you talking to? Not you. Like, I'm trying to have a personal conversation here. Like, don't get in here. Like, it's just, I know it sounds strange, but that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that. So what does that look like for you? What does that mean for you? For you to stop and consider, for you to stop and go, I'm going to practice God's presence here. I mean, we do this thing called First Wednesday, which is coming up. It's like worship time, and it's really powerful. Some people, you know, will know all the songs and sing all the songs and love to sing. Others will just sit and soak. And it's, as a church, we want to practice God's presence. But I will tell you, it's not just about that. It's about the 5 seconds. It's the 5 seconds of breathing in, of reconnecting with God. That fuels you. See, you have so many opportunities ahead of you. You cannot not habitually refuel. You have to. And it's not a one-time thing. And for some of you, you've done that. And you know this. You said a prayer and it ended because it had an amen. And the last time that you prayed that prayer out loud was 3 months ago. And you've never prayed since then because of whatever, whatever, whatever. And by the way, I just want you to know, every time you have a thought of God, about God, or what he hasn't done, or has should you hope and beg that he does, that's your thoughts are prayers, by the way. So he's always listening. So what if you were like, you know what? All right, I have all these opportunities. I have all these problems. I have all these things. I got to do this. What if it's the one thing that would change the game for you this Christmas? Just this one thing. You habitually pause. You figure out just a habit of pausing. Friends, it doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. It could be 1 minute of just going, I'm just going to breathe. I'm just going to breathe. I'm just going to breathe. Just breathe in. Breathe out a little bit. Acknowledge your presence in my life. Just saying Yahweh as your breath is so profound. And you might think, I don't know if that refuels me. I got to do some things. I got to read some things. I got to find that. And sure, there are other things you should do. But imagine if you just did this one thing, habitually pause to do what? To what? What? Practice God's presence. That's it. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. It will change the game for you. It will give you direction on all the decisions you have to make. I know for some of you, you listen to this Christmas offering thing and you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't really give to a church. I really don't. I mean, and I get that. I understand that. But this is a one-time gift to give to all the missions, outreach, and global and local missions. And maybe this is a decision you got to make. And maybe you're like, I already tithe and I give and I want to give. And I mean, you have those decisions, but you have others' decisions too. Wouldn't it be worth it for you to pause, to acknowledge, to go, okay, what do you want? What are you thinking, God? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? So that's my prayer, that you and I would do that. Let me pray for us. Can we do that? Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for God, I thank you for all these people who listen and Metro, they're watching and they're being a part of that community. And it's so amazing to see that community grow, knowing that their families, even now, choosing to dedicate their loved ones, their babies, this morning at that campus, and then even at this campus. God, thank you for people who habitually choose to plug in and sign on and watch, even though they're from a different country or a different state, and they're choosing to be a part of this community. God, I am so grateful for that. God, thank you for just the habit of people coming to church and coming to a place where we experience a collective reality of who you are, your presence that truly does transcend everything that we know and has the ability to profoundly change the way we think. God, I thank you for that. God, I pray that in the midst of the problems, opportunities, concerns, worries, even the pain in this season, God, I know you love them. And so I pray, God, would you remind them that you love them? And would they stop to breathe you in? To breathe you in. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.